roadside cotton in the ditch. We all picked the cotton, but we never got rich. Daddy was a veteran, a Southern Democrat. They ought to get a rich man to vote like that. Singing song, song of the South. Sweet potato pie and I shut my mouth. Gone, gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. Hit us up there, and we'll try to respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. Still come about an hour from now, April Marie Fogle. That's in the 10 o'clock hour and 11 o'clock hour, the official Democrat response of the Jeff Porter Show, former Congressman Parker Griffith. But joining us now, he's also a member, he is a member of Congress, current member of Congress, Gary Palmer from the 6th Congressional District here in Alabama. Congressman, how are you?
I'm good, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for making time for us. Well, let's start here. Obviously, we're a couple of days removed now from the State of the Union address. Share with us your thoughts on that. Did Trump get done what you thought he needed to do in that moment?
I think he did. I think it was, without question, his best speech. He made the right points. He delivered it the right way. And I think he drew a sharp contrast between what Republicans are for and what Democrats are for, and particularly in regard to a secure border. I mean, Jeff, I just have this visual image of thousands and thousands of people, these caravans coming to our border and just overwhelming border security, in contrast to no one has illegally come into the country in what, the last 6 months or so?
That is a significant contrast. You know, just the Alejandro Mayorkas era of just open borders and ideologically opposed to borders is over. And I'll tell you this, Congressman, when I talk to these, these candidates or AG or people who are in law enforcement, in public service in some capacity, they say there's a tangible difference on the streets.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no question about that. Then the other contrast, you can't have posters or anything on the floor of the House, but if people wanted a visual image, just think of a dozen eggs and costing almost $9 a dozen under Biden and the Democrats, and now it's under $3. Or just visualize a gas pump and paying almost, over $3.50, almost $4 in some places in Alabama. Now it's about $2.30, $2.40. Somewhere in that range. There are stark differences between life under Democrats and life under the Republicans. We're still working at it because there's more that we can do. And I think when people file their taxes and they see the kind of returns they're going to get back, the increase in the child tax credit, and when it comes to Social Security, 88% of the people who are on Social Security will not be paying any income tax on it. So, and I think the president did a good job of pointing that out. And then the other visual is when he asked, do you put protecting the American people first or protecting illegals, stand up, and they sat there.
Yeah, and, kind of an interesting almost showmanship from the president, but I watching what went on Tuesday night and how this all unfolded, Trump, the speech offered us a contrast of really where I think everything is. Like it symbolizes everything that the Democrats did appear to be kind of fringe and crazy, but I would argue, I think that's what their base expects of them, just oppose Trump as much as possible. And then, the Trump was vintage Trump.
Yeah. But it's not just their base expects them to oppose Trump. You have to ask the question, with what are you for? You can't run an election just because they're against President Trump. What are you for? And all you got to do is look at those 2 years. This is a snapshot of what a socialist government looks like under the Democrats with Biden when he was president, and the Democrats had the House and Senate. They made the biggest increase in deficit spending, the biggest increase in our debt in the history of the United States. We had 19% inflation cumulative in those years. And then think about this, Jeff. In the 4 years Biden was in office, we were averaging over 102,000 drug overdose deaths every year. And it has dropped tremendously in just 1 year. And that has to do with securing the border and taking out the drug boats.
And, you know, I guess headed to the midterms is will voters react to give Trump the credit or Republicans the credit they need to win at the ballot box?
Well, I think that depends on how well we message. And I think you and I've had this conversation before. I'm constantly urging my Republican colleagues to do local talk radio. I did 2 radio town halls where I just went on the radio and let people call in and ask whatever questions they want to ask. I think you have to talk to the people who are going to vote for you. And no disrespect to Fox News, but I think too many of our guys think that that's connecting with their base, when there are far more people listening to your show or some of these other shows in Alabama than are watching Fox News on any given night. So I think we have got to be boots on the ground, for lack of a better way to put it, you know, more intentional in who we're talking to and explaining these things to people.
Well, since we brought it up, election outlook, and I mean, you sound optimistic or relatively optimistic when it comes to the possibility that we could see, at least some hopeful signs for House Republicans in November.
Well, I think we've got a chance to hold the majority, because the consequences of not doing it in terms of the consequences to the American people are so huge. If the Democrats were to take control of the House, they would immediately move to impeach President Trump. If they got control of the Senate, it'd be the same thing. Everything grinds to a halt. And you can see the direction of the Democratic Party with the election of Mondami. I don't think that's where the vast majority of American people want to go. And we've got to make that contrast. I don't think they really want to put the people who created the problem in the first place back in charge. They don't want to see the massive spikes in energy costs that we've seen in New York and Connecticut, Massachusetts, Illinois, and in California, particularly when they pushed all of the renewables, which just are not meeting the energy demands that we have. So, but again, we've got to get out and get this message to the American people.
Well, tell me, you know, beyond the individual members messaging, you look at the Trump administration itself, what would lend a hand to those efforts from those guys that they haven't done so far?
Well, I think Trump's going to get back out on the road, and that's always helpful. But the main thing is the collaboration between the White House and those of us in the House who are working on health care, for instance, additional reforms to health care. One of the biggest things that we did in the One Big Beautiful Bill was the Rural Health Transformation Fund. I'm the one that came up with that. I didn't come up with it in time to get it in the House version, but we worked. The guys working with me on this went over to the Senate, and we got the Senate to put it in. That's going to be transformative for Alabama and all these other states that struggle with meeting the healthcare needs of people in rural areas. But there's more that we need to do. We need a parallel marketplace. So the people who feel they're trapped in Obamacare or are trapped in policies that they can't afford will have more options. We need to cover pre-existing conditions, which I got that passed in 2017 and John McCain killed it. There's just so many things we can do on home ownership. There's some fantastic ideas out there that I think is going to make homes more affordable for younger people, but also allow older people to be able to sell their homes and transition into our downsides. So I think we've got the solutions. But if we can act, work with the White House to get these passed, I think they'll have to be done through reconciliation so they can't be filibustered in the Senate, and pass another bill that the president could sign. I think that'd be huge.
Joined by Congressman Gary Palmer here on the program. Well, let's talk economy and the buzzword affordability. Sounds like such a engineered political consultant engineered word, but what is the economic outlook now? The big beautiful bill, it was going to start bearing fruit and sometime this year. It's late February. I don't know what the timetable or expected timetable was, but where do you think the economy goes? Because I would argue wherever the economy is in November is probably where the election's going to go.
Well, the Congressional Budget Office, when we passed the One Big Beautiful Bill, projected that the economy would only grow at 1.2%. They may have said it might have hit 1.8%. Jeff, we're going to hit 5%. That is unbelievable. We're already over 4% in economic growth. You're seeing new manufacturing jobs come in. You're seeing massive amounts of investment. Now, the investment in terms of building new factories, building new operations over here, that takes a little while. You can't build that stuff overnight, but it's already generating new opportunities for Americans, particularly right now in construction. We're going to see more infrastructure built. But the 5% economic growth is off the charts. It's even more than we anticipated. We thought we might hit 4%, but that's going to benefit people. Bringing down energy costs, and I've said this on your show before, energy is the most inflationary component in the entire economy. Everything has an energy cost. We're bringing it, the prices down for gasoline pump, and we've got to work to bring the prices down all along the line. And that will eventually trickle down to the consumer, to the point of purchase. So it takes a while, though, and people need to understand that. And to think that we could do everything that needs to be done in 1 year or in 18 months, and that's really what you have in a Congress is only about 18 months to get these things done. I think the American people, when they file their tax returns, they get the kind of refunds that I think they're going to see. I think things are going to shift in our direction, but we just got to get out and keep working.
Because the media and obviously the Democrats are not going. I mean, the picture they're painting is going to be negative, and I guess it's just like you said, members are going to have to get out and about to counter that messaging. But the messaging's got to be there, and that seems to be where the key here is to getting at least people aware that, at least on paper, the economy is improving.
Yeah, but it goes back to what I said a little while ago about doing local media. And I'm not trying to flatter you because you and I have done these interviews for a long time now. Local media, for the most part, are not trying to do gotcha. They're trying to get information. And where the national media, they really have an agenda, Jeff, and you know that. I think most people know that. I'm convinced. I looked at some of the Arbitron numbers, and that's something that you're well aware of, and it's by far more people getting their information from local talk radio, from their local TV, than all of the cable networks combined. So I think this is going to be a grassroots campaign. If I had to categorize it in the simplest terms is talk to the people.
Well, let me ask you a question on that, and this is kind of not related to anything going on. But when you do these interviews, particularly in your district, do you hear back? Do you get reaction to them when you do these kind of formats?
I do. You know Leland Whaley. I went on with Leland for 2 hours and just took questions, people calling in. I had to be in my vehicle the next day, and I tuned into Leland, and people were calling in and talking about how much that meant to them to have someone just come on and answer questions. That's not everybody's going to get a chance to meet a member of Congress and have a conversation, but you can have that over a radio show. And you know that, and people say, well, why don't you just do a regular town hall? Because there are people who are paid to come out there and be as disruptive as they can, and you can't have that conversation. And I don't mind the tough questions. You know that. I just think that we've kind of got caught up in all the social media stuff, and it's just not an effective way to communicate the kind of message that we need to communicate. I'm not here to just try to blow up everything. I'm trying to get across to people what we can do to make their lives better.
Congressman, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but I always appreciate it when you make time for this show, and let's do it again soon.
Well, I always appreciate you having me on, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Congressman Gary Palmer there. We got to get a timeout in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Just to send it on down the line.